just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit makes all the difference for us, Lord God. And we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for seeing another Sunday morning. Lord God, we thank you for this lesson, the rock, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, again, that we would digest this in, Lord God, and take it. Lord, that we live in a day where we have got to understand you as the rock, your name as the rock, Lord, your name as our refuge, Lord God. So I pray over this word. I pray over the class, Lord God. Father, everyone that will share, Lord, it's all important, Lord God, as we come together, Lord, to be encouraged, to lift, oh, Lord, up your name. Lord, we just thank you for these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to continue with our lesson on the rock. There's a couple of extra handouts there. We don't have our regular offering envelope, so just put it in the bank bag over there so we can turn it in the bank bag. We're going to continue, and last week we started the lesson, The Rock, oh my God, and just talking about the rock as the refuge. And hopefully we drove the point home on the importance of the refuge, you know, and I hope you see that picture in your mind about comparing the refuge with your home, because that's where you go to regroup, that's where you go to nourish, and I want you to understand the name of Jesus Christ as the rock, your refuge. We talked about last week, is there anybody here that does not have their house keys with them? You keep those house keys because you know you need that refuge. You know, and that's the way we got to see the Lord Jesus Christ, is that we keep those keys. There's nobody in here who does not have their house keys. Okay. You have access to them. You have access to them. Because we have to see, why do we even need homes? Why do we need houses to live in? Because we need that protection. And we're going to go a little deeper into that concept today as we talk about knowing this name, the rock. The key scripture for this segment is, the Lord lives, blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. And that's from 2 Samuel 22:47. We're starting at the first point. It says, the verse above is a portion of the Song of David that after he was delivered from the hand of King Saul, David lived as a fugitive in his homeland through no fault of his own. He was hunted by the most powerful man in the land, but through it all, he stayed in the shadow of the rock. He believed in it and he depended on it. He believes that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. To know this name, my rock, is to know the secret place, the safe and protected place. Now, we, in our last lesson, the lifter up of my head, we talked about the secret place. So this is another aspect of the secret place. The secret place is someplace that every believer, at some point, you need to know the secret place. The place where you go to get renewed and replenished. And the lifter up of our head, we talked about it as lifting our head in the secret place where Christ encourages you. And as the rock, we come back to the secret place to talk about that place of nourishment, that place of protection. And David understood this. And I want you to understand that he understood this in a spiritual sense. He understood that he had to stay within the ways of God if he was going to be in the shadow of the rock. You can't be in the shadow of the rock and be with the rock and you're doing your own thing. And you're deciding you're going to do your own thing. So that's the concept that we see when we look at David, how he stayed even though he was hunted down for no fault of his own. And sometimes that's where we kind of get off, is that, oh, it wasn't my fault, therefore. You know, so, but there's no therefore here. We just stay with God no matter what. And he stayed in that secret place. He stayed in the shadow of the Almighty. So he could sing that song, the Lord lives, blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. And this was his song after he was delivered. He was able to sing this song. So our first point says, several times David could have murdered Saul while he slept. No one would have blamed him if he did this. But David stayed in the shadow of the rock, adhering to the word of God not to touch the anointed king of Israel, but to trust God with the situation. And this was a life and death situation. And I had to put that in because sometimes we justify ourselves because of the situation. Let me just put my Holy Ghost on the shelf for a minute because I've got to deal with this. Because this is not a situation that the Word of God deals with or addresses. So I just want you to look at this fact that this man was being hunted down for no fault of his own, and it was a life or death situation. So we don't have any place to justify our sins because of the gravity of the situation that we're in, because we often convince ourselves that the depth of another person's sin somehow nullifies the commands of God. That's what we think. You know, we don't say it out loud, but that's the way those wheels turn in our mind. And we nullify the Word of God because of the situation. You know, the Word of God is null and void because of what they did. We say things like, but you didn't see what they did to me. You didn't hear what they said to me. You didn't know how they treated me. That's the things we say. And in saying that, we feel we're justified in nullifying the Word of God and doing things that we want to do. Acting in the flesh, basically. Nothing. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you a truth? Nothing nullifies the Word of God. Nothing. You have no excuse before God for sinning, for stepping away from the rock. You have to stay. In fact, this is the time, I'm telling you, when the pressure is on, when people are mistreating you, this is the time when you have to stay in the rock more than any other time. Because I'll tell you, that adversary of yours, the devil, he's looking and he's watching. He sees what's going on and he's just waiting. He's waiting for you to step out of the shadow of the rock so he can snatch you, so he can get you. Be careful. Be careful, beloved. He's waiting. God's got you. Don't let him lie to you and tell you God doesn't have you. Because we would think that, oh God, if God was here, what? God is right there. He was right there with David. And he's right there with you. So don't be tempted. You are very tempted at that time. And you got to realize that. I'm tempted right now. I'm weak. Because my feelings are hurt. Because I've just had a loss in my life. Realize that you are in a weakened state at that point in time and stay close to the rock. Get yourself up and come to church. I'm sorry, come to church. You know, I don't often make it here on Wednesday nights, but I'm telling you, I've been going through some stuff in 2016, and I've been taking my tired self to Wednesday night service. And it's been wonderful. I said, Lord, I know I'm tired, honey. I just give me another cup of coffee and we come on to Wednesday night. Because I got to stay in the shadow of the rock. Sometimes I said, I need that shot in the arm. I got to go to the rock. As the songwriter said, the rock of my salvation. When I need a shelter. When I need a friend, I go to the rock. So be aware. Be aware when you're in a weakened state. And when you know you to go to the hospital. I mean, to go to the rock. That really was a slip. That was a slip. But I was trying to give the comparison that when you're really sick, honey, you make your way to the hospital. Don't you get, you take me to the ER. Yeah. If you can't drive, you're going to find somebody to take you to the ER, aren't you? Because I'm about to die here. The same thing with your spiritual life. When you feel all beaten up, when you feel like you're about to do something sinful, get yourself over to the spiritual ER. Get yourself to the emergency room so God can pour some stuff into you, where the saints of God can come around you and pray with you. There is power when we get together, folks. There is something happens when we get together. I see why the Word of God says, fail not to assemble yourselves together. You know, I know some people don't get that concept, and I'm not faulting them. I pray that they grow to that place. that some people think they can just make it on their own. I love Jesus and I accepted him, but I don't think I need to go to church. I've heard that, you know, but I'm telling you, as they grow in God, they'll understand there is power when we get together. There is strength when we get together. That's why the scriptures say, fail not to assemble yourselves together. Because when we all get together, we strengthen and we encourage each other. And we're all better for it. So again, nothing justifies sin. We think these things justify our leaving the rock to resolve the situation on our own. Thinking Jesus, the Son of God, who was tortured and humiliated, does not understand the depth of your pain or knows how to deal with sinful people. So we leave the rock. I mean, I really want you to get that concept. We're thinking that Jesus Christ, the one that was tortured publicly, humiliated publicly, put to death on the cross publicly, does not understand your pain. So I need to go and do this myself. That doesn't make sense. You see how the liar gets in your head? Because that's not even logical. How can you think he doesn't get it? Why would you think you have to do it on your own? He knows it more than anybody else. And he had the greatest status of anybody. He was the Son of God and this happened to him. So he understands your pain. So don't listen to the liar that tells you to get from out of the rock, to do it your way. Folks, rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I want you to keep that scripture from 1 Peter 5:8, because that adversary prowls around, looking, waiting for you to step away. That's what he's waiting for. I'm just waiting for you to step away. Because I'm going to have somebody else say something to you. That'll break you. Yeah, one more. You just need one more thing to happen. Just one more thing to happen, and I know you're going to break. I can see it on your face. Oh, I'm going to send that person just to say that one more thing. You got to know yourself. You've got to know your humanity. We're humans. Humans have emotions. Humans have feelings. Humans get angry. Humans carry grudges. Sometimes it's because you haven't forgiven some old stuff. And then that same person comes around again and says something else. That's it. I've had it. I've been meaning to tell you this for a long time. That's the way it comes out. Because you never forgave it in the first place. See, that's some of the stuff we're going to get into that. Forgiveness, folks. Let that stuff go. Unforgiveness is setting you up for a fall. I'm telling you right now. And I can't even put the unforgiveness on the devil. That's on you. That's on you. Because you won't let that stuff go. And the devil knows, like, okay, I'm just going to let that same person come around again and say something to you. Because I can see by your body language. See, the enemy can't read your mind. Remember, he can't read your mind. But boy, he can read that body language. That attitude. Oh, he sees it. Oh, she's almost there. She's almost going to crack. So I'm going to make sure the kids act up today. He'll mess with the children. I mean the children. I told you, I'd be in prayer in the morning. Before they got on the bus, I lost my joy. Just lost my joy. Hair standing all up. But see, when you're aware, see, I've grown now. Thank God they've grown. But I've grown to understand how he attacks. Remember the apostle says, don't be ignorant of his devices. Because he'll work through anybody. Anybody. Children are innocent. They don't even know. See, but they're innocent, but they don't know how not to listen to the devil. Okay? So they are innocent, but they don't know how to rebuke the devil yet. So they're going to go do it. We have to be aware. We don't want to leave the rock. The essential focus of the title rock is that there is an exalted, elevated, out-of-reach location available to the person who would take refuge in Christ's name. That's from our book. That's the essential focus of the rock, is that elevated, exalted, out-of-reach place that you can rest in. That is the rock. And now we're going to just go into this point where we're going to just break the aspects of the rock down. The rock is the place of keeping and nourishment. And I love these pictures. There's so many pictures online about Christ and his love for us. And this one was one that always strikes me. I saw this one at Greatest Gifts one day, and this one really strikes me. How Christ just takes us when we can't even stand up anymore, when we can't even go any further, Christ takes us. It's a place of keeping and nourishment. The rock beckons us to come to him and rest when we are weary and burdened down. This is from Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, and we're going to get to that scripture. All ye that are burdened and heavy laden, I will give you rest. The old hymn gives this invitation. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. That's a hymn by Turley Richards. The rock is a place where you can let down your guard. Oh, man. Oh, God, thank you for a place where I can let down my guard. Because I know we're surrounded by the hordes of hell, and we have to be so watchful and so careful. There's a place. See, the rock is a place where you can let down your guard. Finally, let down your guard because you're safe. To be real with the Savior about what's going on with you. Tell him your fears and insecurities. Well, that's fine. He will not take advantage of you or use it against you. Instead, he will nourish and build you up. In the rock, you are finally home. We have our physical houses and stuff, but your spiritual home is in the rock. You know how you feel when you get home? When you get home, you know, it's like this load just lifts off. You kick off your shoes, you know, you get on the comfy shoes and the comfy clothes, you know, let it all hang out. You just don't even, because I'm home. I'm in a safe place. I don't have to have on all the garb anymore. I don't have to walk straight and my shoulders back and, you know, my purse at my side tight. You know, gentlemen, you loosen that top button, you know, you take that tie off because you're home. You sit down in that comfortable chair because you're home. The rock is your spiritual home. It is a place where you can finally let your guard down, where you can be comfortable. And the rock is a place where you came from. See, there's something about home. There's something about home. There's something about, you know, when you've been away and you come home and you see mama and daddy's face, and it's just something happens when you see. It's like, you ever babysit children and they're fine playing, and as soon as they see mom and daddy, yeah. And you're like, what? They were fine. Yeah. I promise I didn't do anything. But there's a sense that comes over them. I realize there's a sense, because when they see mom and dad, home, safety. I don't have to be so rigidly good anymore with the babysitter. I'm with mom and dad, the people that love me unconditionally. That's the rock. That's where you go, to the rock where he loves me unconditionally. I can bare my soul to him. I can tell him the things that I think, that I've been thinking. Sometimes I don't even tell Jesus what I'm thinking, but he knows, because I know how, what happens, things happen, a song will come on, or somebody will say something to me. I said, I didn't even say that out loud. But he ministers to it. He doesn't condemn you. He's not a condemner. He didn't come to condemn the world. Remember, he said, I didn't come to condemn the world, I came to save it. You don't have to worry about him condemning you. People will condemn you. But he's not condemning. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. It's the place of nourishment. It's the place of keeping. The rock brings us nourishment when we are forgotten and rejected by the world. The rock is there to comfort us when all that we have relied on crumbles and dies. The scriptures proclaim, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne? And God says this, though she may forget, I will not forget you. I have never known a mom that forgot her nursing child. I have never known a mom. That mom, I mean, she's on it, man. If she has to leave, man, she's going to leave some breast milk for that baby in the refrigerator. Whoever has that, I mean, she doesn't forget. It's always on her mind. The baby, the baby, the baby, the baby. But God says, I go beyond that. That even if she forgot, I never will forget you. That's the point he's trying to make. So sometimes you need to go home to the rock and cry. When the limited compassion of this world has run out and people are tired of giving you another chance. They're tired of giving you another chance. You go to the rock. You did your best, but it wasn't good enough. And they kicked you to the curb. Where do you go? I did all that I could do. I did my best, but it still wasn't good enough. Where do you go? You go to the rock. You go to the rock, folks. I want you to really get this concept, because never in history have we needed the rock more than we need it today. We need the rock today. I'm telling you, Christians, you're coming under persecution, okay? You're going to need the rock if you're going to stand. You're going to need the watering place, the nourishing place. Note that the resting in Matthew 11:28 involves taking on the yoke of Christ. Okay, this is the other shoe dropping. A place of trusting in his leadership. It reads, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wow. You know, the wonderful thing about being rejected by the world is that you finally are faced with trusting your Lord. He'll wait in line. He'll wait. He'll wait. He'll wait. He'll wait years. He'll wait. He'll wait. He'll wait. But I'll tell you, I tell you, as sure as I'm standing here, the day will come when the world rejects you, especially if you continue to grow in God. If you're growing in God, and you should be, because something that's not growing is dead. So if you're continuing to grow in God, the day is going to come where you're going to be rejected by the world. Okay? But it brings you to a place where you're faced with trusting your Lord. You discover that he was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. You finally take his yoke and find that he is gentle and humble in heart. And you finally find rest for your soul. And I'm telling you, when you get that to that place, you never want to leave this place. You don't. You know, there's a rest that comes, a peace that comes, that he's got it. He's got this. I mean, you're human, so that anxiety tries to raise its head again, and that fear tries to raise its head. But folks, I'm telling you, rest in the rock. The more you do it, the more you do it, the easier it becomes. I remember, and I told you guys this story before about my mom, and I'm telling her about this crisis. You hear me? Crisis going on in my life, okay? And I'm crying, you know, and telling her about this crisis in my life, and she just listened, eyes closed, and just rocking, and just listening. And then she said, you know, I know it's going to be all right. I know the Lord has it. It's going to be all right. That's all she said about my situation. And the next sentence was, I wonder if they have my car ready. I need to go pick it up. And I looked at her. I'm like, oh, no, you didn't. Just mention picking up your car when my life is falling apart. But I learned something that day. I learned how much she trusted in the Lord. We didn't have to have a long conversation about it. She didn't have to pick out the particulars of the situation. She said, we're just going to the rock. Leave it there. He's got it. Let's move on with the rest of our day. I need to go pick up my car. I learned something. I was mad for a day or two, but I learned something, okay? And after a while, you learn to trust in the rock. You learn that you don't have to talk to everybody in the world, Sally and Janie and Bobby and Jimmy and everybody, and tell everybody the situation. In fact, that makes it worse usually. Because then Jesus has to come behind and do cleanup. After he's taken care of the situation, now he's got to come back and do cleanup with Sally and Mary and Susie and Johnny and everybody that you told. And you learn that. Again, I had to learn that lesson. Stop telling it. Go to the rock. And leave it there. And when you feel the unction that you have to vent, go pray. Put on some praise and worship. And just, Lord, I just know you got this. Reiterate it. I know you have it. I know you have it, Father. I know you got it. So we have to learn that just to stay in that yoke. Even if the world even as the world changes mind about you, because sometimes that happens too, you learn to stay in the yoke of Christ, the rock. And what I mean by that is that sometimes as Christ takes care of the situation and things get better in your life and things get better, the world will try to woo you back. Oh, things are good with you now. Hey, you know what? We forgive you. Come on. Be careful. Yeah. Be careful to stay with Christ. Because I'm telling you, the day will come when people that were your friends, they will reject you. Amen. And then as things get better, they see, oh my goodness, she's flourishing. She's blessing. Or he is flourishing and being blessed. They want to call you back. Come on. Be careful again, because that adversary of yours, the devil. This is a spiritual thing, folks. Y'all think this is social. This is spiritual. When the people that treated you bad, watch out. Because that adversary of yours, let's take her around for another round. Let's take him around for another round. And sometimes our heart, beloved, I'm telling you, your heart is so hungry for that social interaction. Your heart is hungry for the things of the world. Let's just be honest. Sometimes your heart is hungry for the old friends, isn't it? It's hungry for that old interaction. God had to teach me. I remember God taught me such a good lesson. I almost lost everything he had built in my life because He had blessed me and I was lingering back out. after he told me, he showed me. Leave him alone. Love him. I love you. I love you. I care. But we can't hang out like we used to because he's doing something in me. He's doing something in my life. And I got to go with him, folks. I got to. This is real life, folks. This is nothing's random. So be careful. Be careful with yourself. Be careful with where he has brought you to. Be careful with the blessings he gives you, because that adversary of yours, the devil, I can't say it enough, roams around like a roaring lion seeking to devour you. So you want to be careful. David trusted in God's leadership, even though everything within the human world told him otherwise. My goodness, this man was a warrior. He had warriors behind him, men that were standing with him. And he had two opportunities to kill King Saul. Two opportunities. And he didn't take either one. And I know they were all up in his ear, telling him, I can't believe you. Here he's hunting us down. We can't even go home. And you have an opportunity to get rid of your enemy and you don't even take it? Can't you hear the conversation going on? But David was staying with the rock. Touch not my anointed. He is anointed king of Israel. You leave? No. I know he's hunting me down. I know he did this to me, but I know what God said. And God has told me that. Don't say a word. Don't say a word. Don't say a word against them. Don't say a word to them. Don't. Especially when you have the power. Remember the saying, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Yeah. Man, you can have power. I got power. I can take it down. Lord, I can take her down now. I don't need a Holy Ghost on this one. I got the authority. I can. And God said, don't touch them. Don't touch them. We got to hear what he's saying. If you're going to win this battle, you got to hear it. You got to stay in the shadow of the rock. And the hard thing about being in the shadow of the rock is that people think you're weak. People think all kind of things about you. You're this, you're that, you're weak, you're stupid. That's But you got to stay in the shadow. I'm sure David's warriors thought that about him. How stupid. You have this opportunity. But he trusted in God's leadership. That time in your life where you need refuge, where you have been betrayed or targeted, is often riddled with suspicions, doubts, fears, and even guilt. Let's hit on guilt. Sometimes we feel guilty about things and we act because of guilt. We get out of the shadow of the rock because of guilt. Something happened and it was our fault. It was our fault. And somebody got hurt behind something we did. And now it's over and it's resolved. And then that person will come right back at you trying to woo you. You owe me. After all, it was your fault. Folks, be careful. The enemy does not have any type of scruples. He doesn't play by any rules. He will use anything. And sometimes you're feeling guilty about things and you'll let guilt get you from out of the shadow of the rock. Stay with the rock. We gotta, you know, it's like in my book, Leaving Babylon. This is Babylon, that's Babylonian thought process. Quid pro quo, quo. I do for you, you do for me. You owe me. We have all these reasons why we get out of the shadow of the rock, but I'm telling you, you stay in the shadow of the rock. They're going to say stuff about you, okay? So that's the announcement. Take it home. They're going to say stuff about, but stay in the shadow of the rock. To rest in the rock will take an act of your faith and your will. Faith and will, hand in hand. Christ will present his yoke to you, and you must decide to put it on or not. You have to decide to be still and know that he is God or not. You have to decide to be quiet or not, especially when your emotions are high. Especially when your emotions are high. 99.9% of the time when I speak, when my emotions are high, I say the wrong thing. Okay? I always say the wrong thing. Amen? You got to go to the rock. The wearing of his yoke is a place within the secret place of God. It is a place where you learn to turn the other cheek, not to return insult for insult, a place where you are hidden in Christ. Friends and loved ones will urge you to do or say certain things. They will not understand the secret place within the rock, where you are yoked with Christ, responding in his way as your refuge and your rescue. They won't get it. They won't understand. But if you want to get out of this situation on top, if you want to get out of this situation with victory, whether it was your fault or not, then you better stay in the rock. I'm telling you, stay in the rock. Don't give in to all this stuff in Babylon, all these rules. Uh-uh. All these social rules that we have sometimes. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. We got a whole new thinking process, folks. And we talked about when you're taken out of that vat of sin, that stinky, smelly vat of sin Christ takes us out of. Amen. When he takes us out of that vat, we got all this residue on us. You've taken something out that, you know, you've taken a piece of clothing out of something that was stinky, and you know, you're pulling it out and the thing reeks. Even after it's pulled out of the vat, it reeks. That's us. Okay, we're that stinky piece of clothing. And Christ is trying to wash us and clean us, grow us up. But we got to realize that's our thinking has to be changed completely. I go to the rock. I stay with the rock. The rock will have me. The rock has my back. You know, humans will say they have your back, and I believe when they say it, they mean it. But they can't always, because they're humans. So if you're depending on that, you're in for a rude awakening. You're in for a disappointment. Don't fault them because they're human. We're all human. You disappoint people too. All I'm saying is that the rock needs to have your back and not people. You stay with the rock. You hook up with the rock and you stay with the rock. Long after all the arguments have been made and the acts of vengeance have been carried out, the rock will still be standing strong, tall, and holy. After you carried out all your stuff and your junk, the rock's going to be standing. But what about you? Because see, when you step out there and exact all your vengeance and all that stuff, okay, the enemy's coming at you now. You might come back here bleeding, you know? You remember those old cowboy shows, cowboy movies? And somebody, they ride out on their horse. They're going to go and do their own thing all by themselves. There was a reason why you stayed with the covered wagons. They were in a circle. There was a reason why you stayed there. But somebody go riding out on their own. I'm getting to California by myself. Then they come back into camp and all the arrows sticking out of them. That's how some of us come back to the rock, the arrows sticking out of us. I went out there and did all my stuff. And, you know, and I love Jesus, because Jesus will take you back. Come on, come on, come on. Let's get you to the infirmary. Come on. Let's get you to the ER. Jesus just like that. He doesn't reject us. He holds us, even when we can't stand. I love that picture. I mean, just holds us. We can't stand anymore. It's all done, but he's got us. He's got us. There's no greater power in the universe than the power within holiness, and it will be victorious every time. Don't you know there's power in holiness? There's power when you follow the word of God. You have power when you follow this. There's power in your life. The next chapter in the book is the power of God. Oh my goodness. You have power in your life when you have this. So stay with it. Stay with the rock and you have power in your life. And if you stay in the rock, you will too. David stayed in the rock and became king of the land previously ruled by his adversary. Are you getting that? It was previously ruled by the very person that was trying to kill him, and now he's king? Not living in the land, he's king of the land. Because that's the way God does things. He went down in history as the greatest king Israel ever had. His name today brings a positive feeling to us because he lived in the rock. And David messed up, okay? You know David messed up. David committed adultery. David committed murder. But he returned to the rock. And I encourage you, I don't care what you've done. Return to the rock. I know you're coming in the camp with all the arrows in you, but come on back to camp. Because David, God came and God restored his soul. Remember his 23rd Psalm? He restores my soul. See, he knew what he was talking about. He said, because I did some stuff. But he restored my soul. He prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And my cup ran over. That's the rock. He knows you messed up. But the rock says, come on. I will restore you. So that's just the first piece. The place of keeping and the place of nourishment in the rock. Now as we go to the second piece, the place of protection. Our scripture is from Isaiah 52:12. You will not leave in a hurry running for your lives. For the Lord will go ahead of you. Yes, the God of Israel will protect you from behind. I love that. He will be your rear guard. Because as humans, we can't see what's going on all the time. I don't know what someone's planning for me for tomorrow. I don't know what's going on. But he said, don't worry, you're not going to be running away because I've already gone ahead of you and I've taken care of that situation. I'll be your rear guard. I'm protecting you from behind, the place where you can't see. I'll protect you. I'll keep you. But you got to stay with the rock, folks. You got to stay with the rock. Other scriptures from Psalm 31:3, since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead me and guide me. I think the reason why David was called the man after God's own heart, because he understood some things about God. He understood that God is going to protect his reputation. God's going to protect his name. Amen. So David's like, I'm yours now. See, I've been telling everybody how much I love you. So for your name's sake, you need to take care of me. Boy, to be able to talk to God. I mean, he got something about God. He said, for your name's sake, lead me, show me what to do and guide me. Because your reputation, God, is on the line here. Your name is on the line. And we've got to know that. For your, everybody around you know you're a believer. Honey, you go, Lord, for your name's sake, because they're watching me. And we're in a situation where I don't know what to do. So Lord, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. So that they will know that there is a God in this house. That my God is God. He'll do it. I'm telling you, he'll do it. God is like, I'm telling you, he will take care of his name. So our next point, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. Uh-oh. Had to say that, huh? We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. This is from 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, New Living Translation. I love that translation. It kind of breaks it down for us, doesn't it? So the rock will fight for you. The rock will protect you as you walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Because the might of the rock is manifested in the spirit. Let me say that again. The might of the rock is manifested in the spirit. It is not going to be manifested in your flesh. It's not going to be manifested in your arguments. The might of the rock is manifested in the spirit. The Holy Spirit. Your flesh will cry out to fight with its weapons, but resist its call and remain in the spirit. See, when you're going through something, you start out really good. Sometimes, you know, okay, I resisted that point, Lord, and I didn't do it in the flesh when it first happened, but I prayed, and Lord, I'm standing and I'm waiting on you, Lord. I'm just waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. After a few days of waiting, maybe a week or so of waiting, there's an issue with you remaining. Is it not true? I'm tired of waiting. I've been here. I've been fasting and praying for a week, Lord, and it's still the same. Because there's an issue with us remaining in the spirit. And this is why the apostle, he wrote to the church in Galatians 5:7. He said, you were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? This is not a new issue. They started out, this is one of the early churches. And they started out doing good and doing what God told them to do. But then something was going on now. Hey, we've been working on this church now for a few years. And we going through all this persecution, and you know, maybe we should let some things go. But the apostle said, who hindered you? Who hindered you? And he goes on to say, it certainly wasn't Jesus Christ. It certainly wasn't the one that called you. He's right there helping with you. Because sometimes we get this idea that we shouldn't go through anything. Remember the nasty rag that was taken out of the vat that is us? And we don't want to be washed. We don't want, you know, that's how you get washed. You go through stuff. That's how we get clean. That's how we mature. That's how we grow up in Christ. We go through things. And as we are successful and victorious, we become mature in him. Remember the old washboards? You got the bumps on them? And he used to take the clothes and boom, boom, boom. That's the way we go through. It's a bump, but a bump, but a bump. Please, please. And he spoke, as we ask him, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Well, you go through those bumps, and he's working on you. You know, I'm beginning to understand the apostle when he said, I glory in tribulation. Didn't get that for a long time. Why are you glorying in tribulation? Man, I don't know. I just don't want to go through something else. But I'm learning. It takes me to a higher place. If I stay in the rock, it'll take me to a higher place. If I stay in the rock. If I don't stay in the rock, uh-oh, let's go around this mountain again. But if I stay in the rock, then it's taking me to a higher place, he said. So he gloried in tribulation. I can't say that I'm glorying in it, but I'm trying to get there. I'm like, Lord, I'm understanding it, Father. I understand that you're doing something in me. Nothing's random. Don't ever think. Don't let the enemy ever tell you things are random. Oh, it's just happening to you. It's just bad luck. There's no such thing as bad luck. Everything has a reason and a purpose. Pay attention. I was so amazed at Pastor Jonathan last Sunday. I was talking about the exact same thing we talked about in this room. Because when God says it two times, folks, pay attention. He's trying to tell you, I'm involved in your life so much, but you keep missing it. Pay attention. When you go through something, pay attention. I'm doing something. I'm trying to tell you something. Nothing's random with you. Everything, there's a reason. For everything, there's a reason. He's working on you. He's dealing with you. He's growing you up like a good father does. Next point, prayer is essential and critical in the protection of the rock. Prayer will keep your soul calm and obedient as the enemy pounds at your door. And the enemy will be pounding at your door. Trying to get in, trying to get you to go a different way. Prayer will calm your soul. Prayer keeps your soul obedient. To live in the protection of the rock is to live with an attitude of trust. Trust is an attitude, just as suspicion is an attitude. Trust is an attitude. And the best example I can see is a child. Children trust their parents. You know, daddy can throw them all way up in the air and they're just laughing in midair. Ha, ha, ha. Because they trust daddy's going to catch me. I am not hitting this ground because daddy's going to catch me. An attitude of trust. Just trust, trust, trust. A child could be anywhere out with their parents and they'll fall asleep. Because they trust that mama or daddy's going to pick me up and take me home. I might fall asleep here, but I'm going to wake up in my bed. They trust, you know? As adults, we're a little careful. We don't just fall asleep anywhere. Get our coffee going. But a child falls asleep anywhere. Because they have an attitude of trust. Just like suspicion. Sometimes we're suspicious of God. We do. We're suspicious. Oh, I know he said he'll never leave me or forsake me, but, you know, where is he right now? You see, I got these bills, and I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill. Where is God? Maybe I should go out and do something so I can... We're suspicious of him. I don't know if you guys remember that old Alfred Hitchcock movie called Suspicion. I don't know if y'all ever seen it, but it was this wife that was so suspicious of her husband because she had heard that maybe he had killed his first wife. So she was suspicious. She was just, everything he did, she just, you know, he picked up the kitchen knife to cut the steak and she was like. And she almost died because she was trying to, he was trying to hold, pull the, he was reaching over, they were driving, and he was trying to reach over her so he could pull the door closed while they were driving, and she thought he was trying to push her out. So she's fighting him, and he's like, and the door flew open, and she almost fell out. Because she was so suspicious. You know, sometimes we destroy our own selves before God because we're suspicious of him. Like, is he really going to come through? Does Jesus really love me? Come on, I went through that. Does he really love me? Especially, you know, when you live on this earth, man, so many times you feel unloved. So many times you feel rejected. So why would the God of the universe love me? Why would he care about me? That's the problem with the world. They don't believe Jesus loves them. They don't believe it. We're suspicious instead of trusting. When you're in the rock, you have to have an attitude of trust. Trust is what you speak, and trust dictates your behavior. When you trust somebody, let's say like that child, it dictates your behavior. It dictates your whole countenance. You trust that you are protected by the rock, or the Selah, rock in Hebrew. They were talking about this city in the book that was covered on all sides by rock. And it was covered on all sides. And that was the name of that city is what was used to describe the rock in the Word of God. You are covered on all sides. So when the enemy comes into your life from all sides, your family has issues, your job, your health has issues. And you can go on and on and on. You trust in the rock's protection. You trust him. It's hard to protect somebody that doesn't trust you. I don't know if you're trying to protect somebody, trying to look out for somebody that doesn't trust you. It's so hard because they're so suspicious, and sometimes they're fighting against you. And you're trying to take care, you're trying to protect them. I've had that experience. I'm trying to protect you. And you're fighting me. They don't trust you. And you got to explain, this is why I'm doing this, because this happened. If you don't have this, this is going to happen to you. We need to get this in place. And the same thing with our Lord. He's trying to protect you. But you keep defying his word and keep doing it your way. You won't stay with the rock. You won't let him protect you. He's trying to protect. There's protection, I'm telling you. There's protection in this word. Over and over again, we see the gross examples of it in our world. Boy, if we would have just followed, have a seat, man. If we would have just followed this word, how much better our lives would be, even on a corporate basis. Look, just even at sexual promiscuity. We don't want to do this because it's just so restricting and he's trying to take away our fun, suspicious. So we go out and we do. Then just like the guy full of the arrows, we come back into the camp. All kind of diseases going on in our body. Because we don't trust in the protection. There's a reason why he put this. After we fell in the garden, God knew what was coming. He said, you all won't even know that bacteria and viruses exist. You don't even know it yet. I know it. I know HIV is out there. I know that. That's why I told you. I left you my word not to do certain things. It's for your protection. But we get suspicious and think, oh, he's just trying to take away our fun. He's just trying to take away. Okay. And look at us now. So many things. That's just one of the many examples of where we are as a race of people because we don't stay in the protection of the rock. Number three, the place to repent. That's the third part of all of this. The rock is a place to repent and thrive. They go hand in hand. Repentance goes with thriving. The rock is a place where you go. The rock is a place where you repent as you are shown the truth about yourself. The rock breaks down, but it also builds up. And see that scripture reference in Jeremiah. It breaks down, but it also builds us up. The rock will induce, your growth and spiritual health. The rock will make it happen because the rock is the creator. He can make anything happen. He can make you thrive. If you're just making it, I've had seasons where I'm just like, just making it. Okay, we just got enough pennies to make this happen. We're just making it. There's a condition in children and infants called failure to thrive. And what it means is that this child, as a child's coming in for their well child check, they're not hitting the weight marks, the hallmarks of their weight. In 6 months, you should be at this point, but you're way down here. You're kind of growing. You're growing, yes, but there's a failure to thrive. You're not growing like you're supposed to grow. You're kind of, when a child starts losing weight, the child's growing, and all of a sudden, oh man, they should be gaining weight. Children should always be gaining weight and getting taller. And if they stop, failure to thrive. Losing weight, failure to thrive. And if this continues, this child's not going to make it. Sometimes spiritually we're failing to thrive. We're growing, but not like we should be growing. Two steps forward, three steps back. But Jesus, by the time I should be, the apostles said, by the time you should be eating meat, you still need milk. Failing to thrive. The rock is a place where you can thrive. He is the creator. All he has to do is say it so, and it will happen. No, he spoke you into existence, so you understand. The rock did. So if anybody can cause you to thrive, it's the rock. Amen. So you go to the rock. He can make it happen, your growth, your spiritual growth, and your health. The rock will prevent your failure to thrive. In the rock, you will not regress, but progress in Christ. You will grow strong, mature, and capable in the rock. The rock wants you strong and capable. He doesn't want you weak and pitiful. He wants you strong and he wants you capable. Remember the undisciplined disciple, Peter? He was an impulsive person. He gave the appearance of strength, but when tested, he failed his Lord. And the scripture says, Matthew 26:75, suddenly Jesus' words flashed in Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you even know me. And he went away weeping bitterly because he saw it was true. Because sometimes we have that appearance that we're growing, that we're thriving. It's amazing some of the medical comparisons. Sometimes you're growing and sometimes you're just swollen. Okay? Sometimes you're just swollen. That's all water. There's no muscle. No blood tissue. It's all water. Peter was an example. Just bold and brazen and always talking and saw the transfiguration and says, let's build temples for you all. Let's build one for Moses and for Jesus. And just missing the whole point. He was, and not that God couldn't use his boldness, but there was something more that Peter needed. He said, Lord, I'll never deny you. in the garden. He was the one that took out his sword. Again, missing the point because he was swollen. But he didn't have the substance he needed. And Jesus had to tell him point blank, before the cock crows, you're going to deny three times that you even know me. And I'm sure that was a blow to him, like, oh, no, not, yes, you will. Some of us are like that. If we are confronted with something, you will deny your Lord. You will go and do it. You'll run the other way. So that's the way Peter was. And I love the Lord because many of us were Peters. Many of us were Peters. We loved Jesus. Yeah, we accepted him. Yeah. But when the time got hard, we left the rock. We went out and we wept bitterly. We cried about what happened. We cried about what we did like Peter did. Sometimes we fail and we may run away weeping. But Christ, the rock of your salvation, will turn the moment of your weeping into a future where you are strong and thriving. He can do that. The weeping was good for Peter. It's the moment that you're faced with assessing your choices. Don't you see? Peter had to assess. I know while he was weeping, can you imagine what was going on in his head? Here I followed him, and I walked with him, and I was with him. And then when the time came, I couldn't. I was too afraid to do it. It was a good moment for him. So he had to assess what he had done. Peter made a choice to change and to grow. So when the time came that the women came and told him that the Lord had been, that the tomb was empty, the scriptures record in Luke 24:12 that Peter got up, was the first one that got up and ran to the tomb. You would think he would be sticking back and let the other disciples that didn't deny him go. But something happened. I'm just like reading between these lines. Why is he the first one to get up and run when he's the one that denied him? You think he would be avoiding the whole situation, but no. Peter got up and he ran. So folks, I'm telling you, if you've had a failure in your life, get up and run to him. He had made a choice. Peter said, I never want that ever to happen to me again. And remember, Peter started the church of Jesus Christ. Peter started the early church. Oh, go just read the book of Acts and see how Peter. See, that was never going to happen to Peter again. Because sometimes, folks, we have to go through those moments. Failed, man. I really messed up now. I fell into failure. I failed, Lord. Get up and run to the Lord. So the church of Jesus Christ was built on a man who knew what it was to go through failure. What better place to build the church of the rock than on the man that had the failure? So you see those Bible references, and I'm done. And I'm sorry, we don't have time for any comments from you all. So you all bring your comments next week, unless somebody got something burning. We're just going to pray. And, you know, I just wanted to finish, and it was a long lesson. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your love and your kindness. Lord, we thank you for the rock. Oh, God, I pray that we would understand the relevance and the significance of the rock in our lives. Lord, that we will see the rock not as an option in our lives, but as a necessity in our lives. Lord God, we're not going to make it without the rock. We're not going to make it unless we have a place of refuge in this world today. So Lord, I pray that you would just burn in our souls the need for the rock, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.